This morning, as we think about practical mission, sharing our faith particularly, we're going to look at this and focus on this in three ways. Firstly, the why question. Secondly, the what question. And thirdly, the how question. So firstly, the why question. We won't spend a lot of time on the first point because I think that most of us understand the why. Why are we concerned about mission is the question. About sharing our faith, making Jesus known. Why is this so important? Well, because we see in the scriptures that we exist for God's glory. And our mission as a church is based on what we see in the scriptures, that we bring glory to God by making passionate disciples of Jesus. Our purpose is God's glory, and therefore our mission is to make passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. And this is the ultimate reason why we care about sharing our faith. Of course, we want people to respond and to come to enjoy what we enjoy, relationship with God our Father. We want to worship Him, and so we seek, but above all, we want to bring Him glory, praise and honor. We want to worship God, and so we seek by the power of His Spirit working through us to make passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory. Followers of Jesus, people learning from Jesus, following after Him as Savior and King. And then seeking to bring others into this joy, seeking to make others see the truth we have come to know and make it known to them. This is what we as a church are about. And a little plaque just to remind us. We read in Matthew's Gospel, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" This is why we care about mission, about sharing our faith, because Jesus cares about this. He tells us here. Our mission given by Jesus is to make passionate disciples of Him for God's glory. So firstly, this is the why it is important, but secondly, the what. What is this? What is this mission? What is this faith that we're sharing? What's the message that we're sharing? Well, have a look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Looking at verses 1 to 8. "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." So this is the what. This is the message here in a very concise form. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he was raised on the third day, according to God's word and according to the witness of God's people. Christ died for our sins, he was buried, and he rose again. This is our hope. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the what. It is simple and yet remarkably incredible. Jesus, the very Son of God, became a human being and suffered and died for your sins and for my sins that had cut us off from a holy God. Jesus died for our wrongdoing. He was buried. Why? Because he was dead. And he was raised by God from the dead. Jesus is the only way to eternal joy and relationship with God. Outside of Jesus, there is no other hope. Sinners are restored only by faith in Jesus. Otherwise, people await God's punishment for their choice to reject Him. This is the what. This is the what. But there is more that I think is helpful when we speak about what the message is. Paul writes earlier in the book of Corinthians, in chapter 1, verses 18 to 24, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand miraculous signs, and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." Again, we're reminded here of the heart of the gospel by Paul, Christ crucified. This is the power and wisdom of God. And Jewish people, they stumbled over this, or they continue to stumble over this, because a crucified Messiah, a crucified king, makes no sense to them. Non-Jews stumble over this because who ever heard of a conquering king who was crucified and shamed on a Roman cross? It's foolishness. But notice the difference here for those who believe. Notice the difference in verse 18. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Again, in verse 24, "But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." The difference here is God. God, by His Spirit, opens blind eyes through the work of His Holy Spirit through this message of foolishness, apart from Him showing us its power and its wisdom. It is God who calls, we see here. Both Jews and non-Jews, He calls people in such a way, as these verses go on to say, that causes boasting only to be in God alone and in nothing we can bring or do. He calls us and He shows us our sin, He shows us our need for Him and the incredible provision in the gift of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. So have you seen the power and wisdom of this message of the crucified Messiah? Do you see that? Is this message, on the other hand, foolishness to you? Or is it everything to you? Because it is only in this message, in fact, of the crucified Christ that we can boast and find forgiveness and everlasting joy. There is no other way to forgiveness and everlasting life in God than in trusting in the crucified and now risen Lord Jesus. So this is the what. This is the message. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. Christ died for our sins. He was buried and He rose again. Amen. But thirdly, this morning is the how. If we understand the why is for God's glory, making passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory, this is the why. The what is that Christ died for our sins, He was buried and He rose again. This is the message. Then we understand, thirdly, the how. How do we make this gospel known? How do we go about this? And I think there's probably a lot more that could be said in terms of trying to understand this, but we're just going to look at a few ways this morning together. Going back to what John read for us in Acts chapter 17, we do have here one of the many examples of how Paul shares the gospel message. And you might notice, especially as you read through Acts, it is very different depending on who he's speaking to, depending on the situation, just in passing. But this is one instance of Paul sharing the gospel message, and he shares it with Jews and God-fearing Greeks, as well as, we read, in the marketplace day by day with those who happened to be there. I love that phrase. Paul's full-time job was making passionate disciples of Jesus. This was his full-time work. He sought to make the gospel known and to build up in their faith those who believed. He reached out and shared with those who worshipped multiple gods. He used their idea of the unknown God to speak into their lives about the God that he knew, he made known to them. What you worship is as something unknown, he said, I am going to proclaim to you. And so he made this God known to them. He corrected their wrong thinking by exposing them to the truth that the God who made the world and everything in it, he says, is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. And he went on and he told them that God commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He has given proof of this to all men by raising him, that is Jesus, from the dead. And he had a mixed response. Some believed, some sneered, others were willing to hear him again. I want to point out something at this point, though, as we were speaking about this week, Tony Lee and I think generally speaking, the Anglo culture in Australia is quite against the idea of speaking about our faith or what we believe. Generally speaking, that's been my experience, and I know it's been theirs as well. Paul lived in a time and in a culture where there seemed to be a lot more openness in general in speaking about what one believes. At least we can think for a time and in some places, because obviously there was imprisonment and death. I found there is a great closeness to matters of faith, though, among Anglos. Can I encourage you, just in passing, not to abandon hope in speaking to Anglo-Australians about Jesus? If God can save me, he can save them. But use this wonderful opportunity that we have, that's reflected even here this morning, of sharing your faith with those who have never heard about Jesus, who are here in our country. Muslims, Hindus, Buddhists are flooding into our country, and what a wonderful opportunity we have, and we've had, to share Jesus with those, for the most part, who are very happy, I find, to speak about matters of faith and belief. Of course, it takes the same work of God's Spirit to open their eyes, but what I'm saying is, go to those who are open to hearing. Share with them, make them a priority. I even think of how Paul shakes the dust of his feet and goes to those who will listen. That Muslim friend you have, that Hindu you know, that Buddhist that your neighbor's with, or that person you know you haven't met yet but could introduce yourself to, make that a priority. Ask them what they think about Jesus and tell them what you believe. Give them a Bible. Read the Bible with them. Seek to make Jesus known to those who are open, to those God is bringing here from places where Jesus has never been heard. Think of even the Iranians that come here, and many others who might have never heard the name of Jesus, and here we have this wonderful opportunity to share with them. So take that up and pray for them. But let me finish our time this morning with what I hope are three helpful encouragements in sharing our faith. We want to make this practical. Firstly, know the gospel. Meditate day and night on God's word. Know him. Know your God. Know the good news that he has given us in Jesus, his son. And this is not to say don't share your faith until you get to a level of knowing God where you're just up here, you know. That's a foolish trap. Paul was sharing his faith right after his conversion, you might remember. And how many examples do we have in Scripture of new believers who are just on fire sharing Christ? But that is to say, seek to grow in your knowledge of God's word and of the gospel message, and talk to others who have been Christians for a long time, who you know are good at sharing the gospel message. You've seen them share. Speak to them and know the gospel. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. So let's not be ashamed of the gospel message. God is pleased in his wisdom to, through the foolishness of this message, save those who believe. It is his work to save them, as it was with us. And so it is not about having all the right words and just getting everything perfect. We would never share. Of course, we want to strive to understand and know the truth and present that in a truthful way. But it is God who saves, and not our abilities and skills, ultimately. We share his truth, and God saves those who believe. So firstly, know the gospel and seek to know it more, and let it first captivate you and lead you to worship, and pray to God that it overflows in your life, not just to know it, but to make it known in everything you do. Secondly, be in people's lives. Be in people's lives. And this might sound obvious, but it is so important. We are to make passionate disciples of Jesus for God's glory, so we're to seek people out. People must be involved in that. Build relationships, work on friendships, and don't just be in people's lives, but be intentional in people's lives. Be intentional. Be intentional in your prayers, asking God to work in people's hearts that you know, asking God for opportunities to for you and for courage for you to share Jesus and for others here with their opportunities that we have. Pray for me. Pray for Tony. Pray for the COBUS workers and for our partnerships in the gospel that we have here at Westview and others who we support in a particular way that seek to share Jesus. But pray for yourself and pray for each person here in your church family. Pray for us to look for ways to mention Jesus and see where the Spirit leads. Let me offer you some questions that we were speaking about at the elders' meeting this week that I thought were helpful. This is questions to ask your unbelieving friends. Do you have a faith? Do you have a faith? Get the ball rolling. What do you think about Jesus? I think that's a great question. What do you think about Jesus? Maybe you'll get an opportunity to tell them what you think. Have you ever read from any of the Gospels? And maybe would you be willing to read from the Bible? Would you be willing to meet with me and we can read it together? And we're saying maybe avoid speaking about church and making it about church and speak about Jesus, his death and his resurrection and what he's done in your life. And that gets me to one more thing that I found personally very helpful is to speak about how certain truths have impacted you. So when I speak about, for example, when I speak about sin or wrongdoing, it can sound just like a concept, but make it personal. So I speak about how God has shown me how far I have fallen from him, from his perfect righteousness, his standard. I speak about how the thoughts and actions and words that I'm so ashamed of that I wouldn't want even my best friend to know about in the detail that God does. But I speak about, in that time, how God has shown me and continues to show me his amazing love that covers my sin in Jesus, that covers all those thoughts and words and actions that I'm ashamed of, that God has covered them in Jesus. And I can tell them how he sent Jesus so that I could be forgiven and have a relationship with this God that I was made for. We're all different, and I'm not wanting you to be me. God has made us differently, each of us. He's given us different situations, different gifts, different lots in life. But he uses our differences. But can I encourage you to reflect on and share with those in your life what God has done and is doing and will do in you because of Jesus and how this has changed you? Be honest with people. Be yourself. As I was speaking with Suna yesterday, I was just saying that we don't want to pretend to be someone we're not. We want to be honest with people. We want to be humble and broken about our failings, our brokenness in life, the things we struggle with, and our daily need for Jesus. We don't want to pretend we have it all together because we follow Jesus, that somehow our life is perfect. Don't be afraid to praise the name of Jesus for things in your life to those who do not follow Jesus. Be yourself. Be honest. As we understand what the gospel message is, as we know the gospel and we seek to know it more and let it change us, it's not so much about having kind of 5 points ready to go, although that can be helpful, but it is about soaking ourselves in God's truth every day, in this relationship with God, and being led by his Spirit to share in each of those different conversations and those different relationships that are so different and are so unique. And so it's about listening to people, asking questions to people, and responding with the truth of God's gospel that is spoken into our lives and that speaks to them as well in their particular situations. Sometimes we just want to kind of hear the 3 points. I know that's my kind of default, is I just want to be told, hey, what's the 3 points to share with every person I meet? But I think it's more complex than that. And I think it's as we understand this truth more and let it impact us, that when we have these opportunities, we can speak out of that rather than kind of the 3 points, although the 3 points might be helpful in other times, just to confuse you a bit. So be in people's lives. Be intentional in your prayers, in your conversations, and in your own unique personality. Be who you are in sharing what God has done in you. And rely on the God who calls people out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the work of God to save people. And so as we share the message, we can think, oh, they're not going to believe. They're not in of themselves. But God is the mighty one to save, as we'll sing later. It does please him to use us in making his message known, but he is the one who causes the fruit to come. Thirdly and lastly this morning, make making passionate disciples of Jesus your full-time job. Well, this might sound a little strange if you have a full-time job or if you have something in your life that takes up most of your time. But can I encourage you that even inside of that work or that thing that you do, see the purpose of glorifying God by making passionate disciples of Jesus. We want others to know about Jesus, don't we? We want people to know about Jesus who's reconciled us and who can reconcile them to God and bring them into this relationship that we enjoy. We want people to come to know and treasure Jesus above all things, to be his passionate followers, his passionate disciples. And so this needs to be the air we breathe and the food that we eat. This is our full-time job, 24/7. Paul writes in Romans 14, "For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We are Christ's possession. We live for him." So make making passionate disciples of Jesus your full-time job. Of course, this will look different for all of us in how we do this and what it looks like. As I've said before, God has made us all differently. I'm not Tony, and Tony is not Becky, and Becky is not Alan, and so forth. We are all made different, and God uses our difference. But let this be what you're about, knowing Jesus and making him known in everything you do. Making passionate disciples of Jesus, make that your full-time job. in how you pray, in how you live, in how you use your time, in what you do and in what you don't do, making Jesus your full-time job. Passionate disciples of Jesus. And can I say, use each other. Help each other. I need you and you need me. We're a body, and God has made us different parts of his body to build each other up in love. That's what we're told in Ephesians. And so if you get an opportunity to share your faith during the week, why not consider talking to one of the elders, and you can share that on a Sunday to encourage people, not to boast. Thursday night church is another opportunity for us to be sharing in our lives things that have been happening. Hey, pray for this person at work. I got to talk about Jesus with them. Or I really want to talk to this person in my family, but I'm not sure how. Let's share this with each other. Let's seek to encourage each other and help each other, because it is a struggle. It's a struggle for me. And it's a struggle, I'm sure, for each of us in different ways. So let's help each other in seeking our mission to make passionate disciples of Jesus, all for God's glory, because we want him to be lifted high and we want people to worship Jesus and enjoy the God that gives us a life in Jesus. So let me pray. Father, there's heaps here that we've spoken about, and I just pray that you would give us each what we need. Just help us to remember and recall by your Spirit things that you're teaching us that will be helpful for where we're at. Lord, you know that it is a struggle. We live in an interesting culture, Father, that where sharing your faith is not kind of a cool thing to do. And just give us boldness, give us courage, give us wisdom, give us sensitivity, and just help us to help each other as well in praying and in supporting each other. Lord, we want to be passionate disciples of Jesus who make passionate disciples of Jesus for your glory. We want you to be lifted high. We want to be obedient stewards of the gospel. And so, Father, let us not focus on guilt or on any sense of kind of feeling bad, but let us focus on Jesus, looking to him and finding all we need in him. And so we pray these things in his wonderful name. Amen.